And let's start. Okay, Demai is an Aramaic word. It's the only Masechta in Zroim that is Aramaic. All the other words are Hebrew. It means that we're in doubt. Demai. It's strange that we put Demai so early in Seder Zroim. I understand why Peah comes first, because most of the other Masechtas in Seder Zroim are what we do to our crops and our fruits and our vegetables after we harvest them. Peah is observed when the crops are still standing and the fruits are still on the tree. We have to leave them before we harvest. So Leket and Shikcha is part of the harvest before we bring it into the granary, before that we bring them into the household where the obligations of tithing kick in. So I understand why Peah is first. And I actually understand why Kilayim comes after Demai, because Kilayim also refers to when the fruits are still standing. In fact, in the Rambam's Seder Zroim, the Rambam puts Kilayim first, even before Peah, because Kilayim applies even before it's standing. Kilayim applies before you even seed the ground. It would appear that Mishnayos Rebbe did not want to start a Seder right after Brachos with the laws of Kilayim, something forbidden. He preferred to start with Peah, which is at least a mitzvah, a positive mitzvah. Peah is also in that negative mitzvah. Don't not leave Peah, as we learned last time. So Demai interrupts all of this because it would appear that Rebbe wanted to cover the doubt. We want to make sure there's no doubt in all of our tithing. So really, Demai belongs in terms of knowing what we need to know towards the end of Seder Zroim. How can I explain Demai without first telling you all what Trumas and Maisros are, what the obligations are before I know what the doubt is? So I think you can see the Musar, that let's dispel doubt and then we'll commit ourselves to doing away with doubt. The Gemara says that the expense of an asham talui is more than the expense of a chatos. Chatos, a sin offering, costs a certain amount. An asham talui, where I'm not sure if I sinned or not, costs even more. Because when we have doubt in our minds, then that's more debilitating, right? Safek is the gematria amalek, because amalek loves to instill doubt. So Demai is all about dispelling doubt. So before we know what the doubt is, we have to know what is it I'm trying to dispel. I'm trying to dispel Tevel. Tevel is what we call produce that is not tithed. It's important to point out that there are three very different opinions in Chazal and even in Rishonim about what needs to be tithed. Right, the maximalist position, which is the Rambam's position, found in the Yerushalmi but not in the Bavli, is that we have to tithe whatever the field produces, based on the pasuk Aser ta'aser es kol tfu'a saracha hayotze min asadeh shana shana, which means tithe whatever your field produces. That's the maximalist position of the Yerushalmi. The minimalist position is that all we need to tithe is dagon tirosh v'yitzhar, which is the five grains and wine and oil. That's because many psukim in the Torah point out that that's what we're supposed to tithe. So the Bavli specifically says this in a number of places. There's a medium position, which is the Ramban's and Rashi's position, which is that in addition to wine and oil, we also have to tithe, according to the Torah, grapes and olives. Okay, so if I don't tithe those things, whichever opinion you hold from, then that food is tevel. What needs to be tithed? So it's dafka from this week's parsha, from Parsha's Mishpatim. There's a pasuk, Meleacha v'dimacha lo se'acher, which the Rambam in Chazal, Rambam codifies it as one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, one of the 613 mitzvahs, as does the Sefer HaChinuch, not to tithe out of order. If I give the Levi his Masa Rishon before I give the Kohen his Truma, I'm basically stealing from the Kohen, right? Because let's say I have 100 bushels, I'm supposed to give two, on average, 2 1/50th to the Kohen for his Truma Gedola. and I'm supposed to give 1/10 to the Levi. If I give 1/10 to the Levi first, then the Levi is getting his share from 100, not from 98. If the Levi's only supposed to get 9.8 bushels, not 10, right? And if the Levi takes his 10 first, then the Kohen is getting 1/50 of 90 bushels, not 1/50 of 100 bushels. When various Mishnayos, starting with the seventh parak in Brachas, speak about the Levi coming and preempting the Kohen, where it's not considered stealing, that's only if he takes his share before the absolute chiyuv of tithing kicks in. Right? He really shouldn't do that. He has to, in turn, give his share to a Kohen. That's known as Trumas Maser. So let's review. First, the Kohen gets his share, which is 1/50. There is no shear in the Torah about how much Truma was supposed to give to the Kohen. We learn from a Tosfos in the beginning of the second parak in Maseches Kiddushin says, we learn from Sukkim and Sefer Yechezkel that the average is to give 1/50. Ayin Yofeh, generosity, is to give 1/40. Ayin Ra, stinginess, is to give 1/60. Okay. So after the Kohen gets his share, then I have to give to the Levi, what's called Maser Rishon, right? And the Levi, in turn, has to give 1/10 of his Maser Rishon to a Kohen. That's known as Trumas Maser. So in effect, the Kohen is getting 2 out of 100, 1/50 from me, and then he's afterwards getting 1 out of 100 from the Levi. Right? The reason why the Levi is getting so much more than the Kohen is because the Kohen, in addition to Truma, is getting many other gifts that the Levi does not get. We'll learn about those in later Mishnayos. Okay, so that's Trumas Maser. Okay, so far we have Truma Gedola, that's the Truma the Kohen gets, Maser Rishon, what the Levi gets, and the Levi in turn gives Trumas Maser to the Kohen of his choice. And then there's something called Maser Sheni, second tithe. Now here we have to differentiate between Maser Sheni and Maser Ani. In a 7-year Shemitah cycle, where in the 7th year, also we derive from a pasuk in this week's parsha, that in the 7th year, there is no tithing at all. 7th year, you don't need to tithe. Whatever is in your field belongs to anybody. It doesn't belong to you. Just leave the gate open for anyone to come in and take food. So there's no tithing during this Shemitah year, right? So in the 6 years besides the Shemitah year, so year 1 and 2 and year 4 and 5 are Maser Sheni years where we have to take 1/10 of our crops and take it to Jerusalem and eat it there in a state of ritual purity. I'm not going to discuss that further. There's a whole Masechta called Maseches Maser Sheni. In year 3 and 6, however, there is a Maser Ani year where I have to give 1/10 of all my crops, according to the 3 opinions above, and give them to a poor person. The Maser Ani does not have its own Masechta like Maser Sheni, because Maser Ani is included at the end of Maseches Peah, right? And Maseches Peah told us already that in order to qualify to receive Maser Ani and to take Peah, you have to have less than 200 zuz. Of course, in every generation, we have to know what that means. And each time, that's determined in each by shiurim, much not the time we have now. But it's an interesting thing that 200 zuz is one more than the gematria of tzedakah. So tzedakah is 199. If you have tzedakah zuz, then you can take tzedakah. Right? If you have more than tzedakah, then you can't take tzedakah, because then you have 200 and you pass the threshold. It's like a tax bracket. Okay, so now we know what I have to tithe. Demai is where you're eating at someone's house and you're not sure if they tithed or not. So obviously, just ask them. Problem is, Maseches Demai says that an Am Haaretz cannot always be trusted to know what the tithing is, right? Plus, we don't want to embarrass him that I suspect he didn't tithe, right? So here is what Maseches Demai says. We have to correct for only 2 of the 5 tithes I just mentioned. The 5 are Truma Gedola, Maser Rishon, Trumas Maser, Maser Sheni, Maser Ani. Only 2 of these need to be corrected. Not Truma Gedola, because for 2 reasons. Truma Gedola is, to start with, the Gemara at the end of Maseches Sota, as well as the Yerushalmi in a number of places, says that Rav Yochanan Kohen Gadol, from Hanukkah fame, Rav Yochanan Kohen Gadol looked around and saw that people weren't tithing properly. So he established the rules of Demai, that we have to correct for what's not being tithed. So he said, you don't have to correct Truma Gedola because Truma Gedola doesn't have a shear according to the Torah. You can correct Metakein, a whole granary of grain, with one kernel of to give to a Kohen. So I don't think that the Amorites refrained from doing so. Right? Plus, it has such a strict punishment. So Rav Yochanan Kohen Gadol saw that the Jews were giving Truma Gedola to the Kohen. As far as Maaser Rishon, though, since Maaser Rishon is not holy food, once I give it to the Levi, it doesn't have to eat it in ritual purity. He can give it to whomever he wants. But Truma Gedola is holy food. So because Maaser Rishon is not holy food, the Gemara says that the tither, the would-be tither, can tell the Levi, prove to me that you didn't get the Truma. Prove to me if it's a suffek in Mamanus, it's a suffek with respect to a doubt, with respect to money. Hamotzi Michavirov, Alavaraya. You want to say I owe you to give a tenth of these crops? Then obviously it's not, the doubt is not in the farmer himself. He knows whether he tithed or not. The doubt is in what you purchase. The tzedukim felt that purchased food does not have to be tithed. You don't paskin that way. When you go to a supermarket in Israel, you have to know that the fruits you're buying have been tithed. You have to buy these medjool dates. Either it comes from outside of Israel or you have to know, it says on it, there's no orla in this, there's no truma in it, you know, all these, everything that went into this wine was tithed, all right? So we're talking about when you purchased it from someone and you don't know if it was tithed or not. Or you're eating in someone's house, you don't know if the person tithed or not. That's what Demai is about. So far, Truma Gedola does not have to be corrected. Maaser Rishon does not have to be corrected because Hamotzi Michavirov, Olav Araya. But Truma's Maaser does have to be corrected. It's ironic. I don't have to give the Levi his one-tenth, but I have to take a tenth out of that, just in case it wasn't, because the tenth out of that, Trumas Maaser, is holy food. I don't want that holy food mixed up with my produce. So I have to give a hundredth, not a tenth to the Levi, but a hundredth to the Kohen. What about a tenth to the poor person? That you also don't have to give, because Maaser Ani is also not holy food. So again, I tell the Ani what I told the Levi. Hamotzi Micharava Valaraya. If you want to say that this wasn't tithe, prove it. But Maaser Sheni does have to be corrected. So only two of the five have to be corrected. Trumas Maaser and Maaser Sheni, because Maaser Sheni is holy food. That is really what most of Demai is dedicated to. What has to be corrected and why. And the Trumas have to be given to say there. They have to be given in order. Because if I give it out of order, then the Levi is being cheated if I separated Maaser Sheni before Maaser Rishon. Kohen is being cheated if I give the Levi before I give the Kohen. So I have to make sure it's all given in order. Okay? And there are leniencies of Demai because of Suffolk. In other words, I'm allowed to give Demai to poor people. I'm allowed to serve guests Demai. So Machil and Sachsanai Demai, so why is he worried? Right? Well, he wants to be Machmir. Right? He wants to be more stringent. Right? The end of the Masechta, I must say, is some of the most enjoyable Gemaras in Shas Bavli Yerushalmi. I have to tell you, when I tell you what it's about, you're going to run to get an art scrolls Yerushalmi Demai, because they have the excellent Nuscha'os, the excellent proper versions. And learn the last chapter of Demai in Yerushalmi. It's all about what do you do if you're in someone's house and you're not sure if they tithed or not, but you also don't want to insult that person. So what do you do on your plate? This is why the Gemara says you should always leave a little bit of food on your plate. Because the Gemara in Yerushalmi says you should leave a little bit of peas, a little bit of carrots, a little bit, according to everybody agrees that we tithe those things midrabbana. You should leave a little bit of barley, a little bit of grapes, a little bit of wine in the cup and leave it over. And that's what's tithed. You think that the owner is going to actually give those things to a poor person or a Kohen or a Levi? No, of course not. but you fulfilled your obligation. You didn't eat to the part that needed to be tithed. Right? That's an amazing chiddush. The Gemara says you can even do this on Shabbos when you're not supposed to tithe. The Gemara says you could even do this with a cup of wine. I understand peas on my plate. Those peas are Maser Rishon, Trumas Maser, and those peas are Maser Sheni. But how do you do with a cup of wine? It's all mixed together. It's amazing how the Gemara goes through hoops to figure out how that guest can go about not embarrassing or insulting his host. And what's amazing at the end of the day, when you finish the Masechta, is that nowhere in the Masechta, with all this doubt, are we ever thinking that this Am Haaretz is serving me on kosher food? Food that wasn't meat that wasn't salted properly, right? No, it's only about the tithing. Kashrus, every Jew in the world is keeping 100% kashrus. The question, the suffix is about the tithing, and that's what Dmai is. So, Chevra, let's work out the suffix, and we finished with this. Finishes our discussion of Dmai. It means Dmai. What is this topic here? What is the subject? Has it been tithed or not? And that, well, now that we're finished with the suffix, we can move on to the other Masechtas in Seder Zeroyim. And next, on Thursday, next class, we'll be doing Masechtas Kilayim. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Have a great day. Hakol b'seder. Everything is great. Stay safe. Stay healthy, everybody.